Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Friday. We are made it to the end of another week, so we want to thank the Almighty for that opportunity. I want to thank everyone who has been in with us last week. Thank you for sticking around during the hiatus and for joining us yesterday for such a power-packed discussion. And today, we are going to continue with part two, so let's get our shout-outs out the way first. Let me thank our sponsor, who has been one hell of a supporter and a backer, Mr. Mark Pittman and his two groups, the Real World Black News and Discussions Group and the Black History Suppressed Group. I want to thank Barry Mason, our show's consultant and also responsible for our commercials and our audiovisual. Mr. Barry Mason, who is formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York City. He is currently with iSoulRadio.com. He is also the CEO of Track One Entertainment, that wonderful event planning company that's out there giving you the best of live R&B events all over New York City. You can hear Barry do his DJ magic tomorrow night from 7 to 10 p.m. on iSoulRadio.com, as well as Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m. And to my panelists, Deacon Zeddy Williams is also my team member. We have Kim Milton, Erica Talbert, Salo Jenkins, Patrick Irvine, Altariq Atkins, Professor Carl Tone Jones. Hoping I didn't miss anybody there. Darlene and Arlene, you guys have been fantastic with the regular conversations. I want to thank my social media neighborhood. We have On the Edge Listeners Lounge with Katie Barnett. We have the two groups I mentioned earlier with tonight's sponsor. We have Patrick Irvine with the Urban Intellectuals Open Discussions Group, Professor Carl Tone Jones with the What About Us Group. We have Linda Miller with the Black Love and Conversations Group. You guys have been fantastic with the pre-broadcast discussion support, as well as what you do in your individual communities. I wanted to thank everyone who has brought our listenership up to 26,509 people. Don't know where you're coming from, but you guys have been hitting the live listens as well as archives and as well as joining us here on the live panel. So tonight's conversation, ladies and gentlemen, is The Blue, the Black, and the Ugly Part 2, Silence is Deadly. We're going to be touching on the effects of the black community being silent when all of these high-profile murder cases are happening, with all of the political cuts and changes, with everything you see in satirical articles. Being silent about this, is this helpful or is it hurtful to us? That is going to be what we speak about tonight. Now, I need to make a little bit of an announcement because this guy is absolutely amazing. You guys heard him here last Friday. T.R. Robinson, Christian rapper, you heard his feelings about the state of the black community, his own experiences, the things that he has worked out. And today, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear the debut of yet a new single from him, which is called Hip Hop for Dummies. Now, when he spoke about it, he explained that this was sort of a tribute to his own personal trip into the hip-hop world. But what took place for him was that he realized so many things that was going on. So as soon as we can get the audio up, we are going to listen to Hip Hop for Dummies as our pre-discussion song break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back right after this. So don't go away.
Started out
down the Bronx and then something happened. Who would ever think you'd be rich from rapping? A stack for a bird, a rack for some words. Get a big old crib and the sticks and the birds. Came from the curb, still smell the herb. Still got the herbs to bust off his mind spur. 9mm, shooting at them speakers and listening in his ear. Blood on his sneakers, damn, how I could just kill a man. Everybody love a villain, rap by drug dealing. Riding in the whip, no roof, no ceiling. Champagne spilling, haters ice grilling. Looking at his man like, why ain't you kill him? Everybody wanna be a rapper, getting tow up. Well, 99% of these rappers will never blow up. And this is what you really wanna be when you grow up. Down in the Bronx and then something happened. He got on the table and then start scratching. Best man the mic, then he start rapping. People got excited, then it start clapping. He was talking about his car, talking about his clothes, talking about his girl, talking about his gold, talking about what's happening in the ghetto when they love him. Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. Who would ever think be on the radio rapping? All in the video, even on Arsenio. Pump, pump, here we go, what's the scenario? All in together now, that's what the chicks say. He ain't even gotta say nothing, just hit play. It's crazy, got a buggin' off the mixtape. Do it for the minor industry, call him Miss Faye. Superhead, they said she get superhead. Kids said she even gave a superhead. Always backstage, trying to scheme on a new cat. Never heard his song, but still be like, who that? All thirsty, why you wanna do that? That's strong, why you let him do that? Miss Mimi on everybody TV, known for the shy ride, used to be the Stevie.
Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. DJ got on the table and then start scratching. Best man the mic, then he start rapping. People got excited, then he start clapping. He was talking about his car, talking about his clothes, talking about his girl, talking about his gold, talking about what's happening in the ghetto when they love you.
Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. Who would ever think the white people would have grasped it? Who thought it would have lasted? They would make it classic. Why you think hella wasn't giving up the masses? Thought it was a fad till I cast start rolling in. Then they got greedy and whipped out that petroleum. They start raping these rappers, making these rappers do albums back to back and barely getting a dollar out of it. New names, do things for loose change. Big stars go hard for big fame. And they know that, the record labels know that. That advance, they know he gon' blow that. On like a watch chain until you hold that. And once they get it, they got you, that's how they bought you. You try to get out the contract and they go blackball you. So watch who you sign to, cause they might outline you.
Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. DJ got on the table and then start scratching. Best man the mic, then he start rapping. People got excited, then they start clapping. He was talking about his car, talking about his clothes, talking about his girl, talking about his gold, talking about what's happening in the ghetto when they love you. Started out in the Bronx and then something happened. DJ got on the table and then start scratching. Best man the mic, then he start rapping. People got excited, then they start clapping. He was talking about his car, talking about his clothes, talking about his girl, talking about his gold, talking about what's happening in the ghetto when they love you.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. and businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on The Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more on The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. It's On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and now it is discussion time, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be discussing the continuation of last night's discussion, which is the black, the blue, and the ugly. Yesterday it was putting the law enforcement on trial. Today it is silence is deadly, and we are going to be speaking on the effects of the black community's silence. Now, upon posting my pre-broadcast question, as I do every day, I got a lot of mixed responses. On one hand, people in our community feel that if we protest, if we stand up, if we make a sound, if we have something to say, that we will bring trouble on ourselves or we'll rattle the rattlesnake's nest. And on the other hand, people are saying, but they're doing that anyway, whether we're silent, we're minding our business, we're still getting ambushed. We're still the victims of racial attacks because, simply put, they don't like us. Well, Katie says, I go with part B. They don't like us anyway. So if we're going to go down, we might as well go down swinging, fighting, and speaking. Here's the problem. We have heard trolls come onto the show when we're not talking about them, when we're not saying a bad word about them, when we're not invading their clubs, their yachts, whether they allow us to be there or not. But all we're seeing is black nigger this, nigger coon that, monkey, animal, savage, beast. All of these things are being said. In the process, the words aren't enough. They have to come out and send their vigilante police force to show cold guys that are standing on sidewalks, to shoot people through doors in the face simply because they're black and have the nerve to be on their door. They are sending out psychological association reports that say we are naturally inclined to have our 9-year-old children smoke weed. We are animals. By the way, our men's penises are so large and we are so empowered that we can get white women pregnant just by them watching 3D black porn. Well, let's see. If they got pregnant from watching 3D black porn, then you might want to think, white men, that your wives are interested in black porn in the first place. That might be a question that you might want to ask. Second of all, unless there's been some lab that can override nature and spin a magical effect, there's no way in hell that our black men can impregnate a woman from the film. Don't know what to tell you, Mr. Man, who believed that nonsense, but that's what it is. So with all that being said, ladies and gentlemen, do we stand by and keep letting it happen? If they're going to kick your ass anyway, if they're going to shoot you and tase you simply because if you can't get into a fight and have somebody play a horrible trick and pull your clothes away to the point where you are forced to walk naked in the street, without having somebody who don't know you from a can of paint turn their car around to shoot you dead because your body physique is a threat to them. If your child can walk out of a daycare 2 inches away from the parent that picked them up and get knocked out by a 63-count felon to get his iPad stolen at the age of 5, tell me what that little boy was doing. If Jonathan Farrell could walk up with a head injury and can't get out because the three cops, looked at a man that just happened to be a little taller than their little self as a threat, and all he did was be woozy and got shot to death, where is silence helping you in that respect? So that is the question that's on the table tonight. Okay, lately, my people have even been silent in responding to the pre-broadcast questions, because if you ask for an opinion, about something to this effect. We are so afraid of saying something, but we'll quietly click a like in a corner. Has that worked for you, ladies and gentlemen? We don't even have the guts to sit there from an anonymous standpoint and speak up for ourselves. They know what we do. We're mad with each other. We're not mad at them. We're mad with each other. We're rioting and burning down our own neighborhood. Has anybody checked into the update of that neighborhood that our black people went into and blew up in defense of Rodney King's beating and found out yet if it has been rebuilt? No. Why would they? When they came in to try to stop us from burning down ourselves, they sat back and said, wait a minute, what the hell are we doing here? They're burning up their own stuff. And many years later, have they sent down any federal funding, even though many people in the L.A. area are taxpayers? Did they sit back and say, let's rebuild these things? No. You know what it's like? It's sort of like an insurance waiver. You know, when you go and you put insurance on those fancy little electronic things you buy, and in the event that something should go wrong, you're supposed to get a replacement under that warranty. And guess what? If you deliberately threw it in water or it dropped or it fell, no matter what you paid for it, you still are void and the warranty means nothing. Because you caused the damage. That warranty only came if the defect happened on its own, if somehow, some way, this fancy technology just went kaput all by itself. And we're busy going, yeah, I got insurance on this. Well, that's what they did with that L.A. riot. Well, these idiots burned down their own damn backyard. What the hell are we going to pay for? Well, we were out there rioting. We sure was. We're going to show these people we ain't going to stand for this. Let's go over there and go knock down our own neighborhood. So, is silence deadly? That is the question. Silence is deadly. If you are sitting up there and you're coming home from bringing your little baby home from school, and there was a classmate who happens to be white that happens to sit there and look at your child and say, I don't like the way your ugly little pigtails look. Let me smack you in the face. Would you sit there and be silent? If somebody came into your home in the middle of your family time and stood there and said, I don't like you people, I heard you were a black family, and I'm going to blow you up simply because you're niggers, would you sit there and allow them to go after your home while you're having dinner with your family? You see, we tend to keep on thinking about the fact that because we're reading about it on some internet media or some newspaper, if they even exist anymore, or looking at it on some big screen TV, since it's not in our immediate vicinity, it doesn't concern us. Forgetting the fact that while that particular thing happened on a news story that you're watching, it did happen in one of our own personal neighborhoods, which means that it just so happens it happened there. What if it happened to you? And would you want anybody else around you who's witnessing that happening to you to be silent? How many of these rose-colored glasses and these deliberate Ray-Ban glasses are we going to keep putting on to watch all these things happening? Do we need to be silent to keep ourselves safe? Or has this stupid idiocy that we put in our head worked for us yet? That is the question, ladies and gentlemen. Feel free to call in and tell me what you need to tell me. 347-327-9967, and we have a panelist already, so hang on a minute. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, welcome. Bad Deacon.
Hey.
How are you?
All right. First of all, I want to start off, and I want to thank the show and the panelists and everybody that's involved and calls in, and I want to thank you for the prayers and uplifting for my family and myself. So, just been going through a little trial and tribulation right now, but everything is fine. God is good.
Very happy to hear that, and I'm so glad you're back. Let me just bring in the panelists after you, and I'm going to give you the mic first for tonight's topic, so hang on.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie, how are you doing? This is Ray Tiger.
Ray, hey, hi.
What's
my
up,
goodness.
Ray?
Well, Wow, the sun is shining today, tonight, right? Okay, Ray, yes. You are going to have the mic right after the deacon. So, gentlemen, this is the question, and then I'm going to have you guys respond on, you know, in your respective terms. And let me bring in the one that just called in so that they can all be off hold. Hang on. Hi, welcome
and
to
hello,
the show.
Deacon. Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, brother.
All right, welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Al-Tariq calling in from Halifax.
Right.
Hey, Al-Tariq, what's up, man?
Are
you all right?
One more, you'll be stirred up, Al-Tariq, and let me bring in the last one. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Kim in Chicago.
Hey, Kim, all right.
Hey, Kim in Chicago.
All right. Deacon, Al-Tariq,
yes.
Ray, and Kim. Question of the table tonight is, I call it the black, the blue, and the ugly. The blue, the black, and the ugly. Actually, speaking about the cops versus the black neighborhood. And is silence worth it, or is silence deadly for the black community? And Deacon, starting with you.
Well, first of all, I believe silence can be very deadly. It's just like, okay, if I'm steady beating you over the head with this frying pan and you don't say nothing, so I'm supposed to think it's okay. But if you don't say nothing, I'm going to keep doing it. Okay, so if you want to keep getting hit upside the head with this frying pan, just don't say nothing. Eventually, you're not going to be able to say anything anyway because I'm beating you upside the head with this frying pan. So I believe silence is deadly. It is very deadly because I'm a true believer in the squeakiest wheel will get the oil. So you got to make some noise, you know. And and I believe when you make noise, it should always be in numbers. Don't try and make a whole lot of noise by yourself because it'll feel like that'll make you look like you're just a complainer, somebody that's always crying about something. But if you can get behind something or someone that has some very important issues that are going on, you need to address it because nothing's going to get done if you sit back and don't say anything.
Absolutely. And before I move on to you, Ray, one of the things that you know, people were discussing, even on Professor's show, Professor had a show, and, you know, we have our own people asking, well, what can we do about it? Well, you want us to get killed? They're killing you anyway. They're killing us anyway. They're killing us, and they have already a pre-installed alibi as to how to justify it. One of the things that made me bring up this entire two-part series anyway was the fact that here we go again. Now that the black community has made a little noise beyond social media, now they want to come in and explain how Eric Garner's fatness or medical pre-existing condition was the reason why he died, not the chokehold. And take a look a little closer at the new snapshot. Does that really look like a chokehold, people? And now, Ray, let me hear what you have to say, love.
My thing is to be silent is to agree. And when it's a crime is being committed and you're silent, that pretty much even can cause you to be accessory to the crime. And at the end of the day, it's to the point where you can't fight the police in the legal system because the legal system is a part of the police system. So therefore, it's to the point where I've been really thinking about what could be done about this. And the only thing I can see that can logically be done about this is it's just time for us to simply fight back, you know, and those who retaliate against the crimes that are being committed against us, because when the law system becomes illegal, it's our responsibility to go against what's illegal and stand up for what's legal. And so what I'm trying to say to this is, it's just to the point to where it's time for a black movement. We had one in the 60s. We had the civil rights movement in the 60s. We had the black power movement in the 70s. And it's time for us to get it together, get out here and fight back, and don't accept these types of things because this is the way bullies work. If you don't say nothing and you let them continue to bully, it just get worse and worse. And New York made a mistake when they was doing the stop and frisk and the people was not fighting hard enough. And now you have a man that's being dead and they up here now retaliating against people that is witness against the police to intimidate them. And this is also a crime because now they're interfering with investigations and what have you. So we don't have any alternatives, but it's time to fight, you know. And I mean, there's no other alternative. You can't take them to court because the prosecuting attorney is their friend. The judge is their friend. They're all in the same business. So, and then I'm going to point this out to you as well. When you dealing with the government, the police represent the government. And what you're seeing now is the police state is the government attacked against the people. And the black people are the primary target, and the poor white people are just collateral damage. And so, therefore, we're being shown by actions that we're under attack. So we need to start acting as if that and protect ourselves and our families. And we have a right to protect ourselves and our safety and our lives. So we really don't have a choice in this situation.
Absolutely, absolutely, Ray. And you always say such intense and on-point things. You know, more of us need to make that more of a front-page situation. You know, we're sitting back and we're doing nothing. And let me head over to Al Tariq and then to you, Kim. So go ahead, Al Tariq, your take.
So, man, it's definitely silence is That silence, when you're silent according to something that happens that you know that you should be saying something about, you are just as guilty as the person who's committing the offense. Because really, you're giving them the, it's okay, you know, to do what they're doing. And I guess over time we've learned such how to be beaten down and to bow our heads and turn our heads the other way in the face of oppression that it's become pretty much, you know, a second nature type of thing. But this has got to stop. And I believe that, you know, even when somebody beats you, you know, out of your nature, because that's what I truly believe happened to us, because no people who are not a weak people, if they're people of strength, they're going to fight back. You know, and I believe we have been weakened so and watered down so strong that it's been hard for the majority of us, you know, to muster up the courage to try to fight who's really doing us wrong. And I just think about one time when Malcolm said, we can bite, you know, we can go to China, we can bite them, we can bite Japan, we can bite anywhere that they send us to defend this country. But when they're breaking rules and inflicting terror upon us and injustice, we won't bite back with them. Something's very wrong with that picture.
Yes,
so
it is.
I say that it's time to stop barking and stop biting the same way we bite anywhere else, and stop believing that we have to be so patriotic to people who aren't being patriotic to us.
Absolutely. You know, that statement that you made, Ray, as well as you, Al Tariq, about, you know, standing by and doing nothing is as bad as being involved. Okay? And I hear so many people asking questions, anything that they can do to try to point out a deflection from that big fat beast that's in the center of the room of our society. Listen, racism exists. How many which ways can it be said? We don't like you. You niggers are this. You're coons. You should be burned. You need to be lynched. Modern day guys getting drunk. Look, just. Well, it may have been a few years ago. Exactly the year I can't get, but I'm sure one of my wonderful research people will get it. The year when that grown man was tied to a pickup truck with a bunch of drunk white boys and decided to be dragged to his death. You have to be one evil son of a bitch to sit there and be able to watch a person's flesh just pull off their bone. You have to be one evil person to be able to take a knife and carve up a human person like they're a piece of slaughtered animal. Okay? I don't understand anything more. So I want to thank you for that, guys. And Kim, what's your take, baby girl?
Well, thanks for having us on to talk about this, because first we have to talk and then we have to do action. Someone mentioned that we had movements in the past, which are true, and now as we move to the future, we're going to have a different kind of movement. We're not going to be able to walk silently and turn the other cheek and sing We Shall Overcome. We can't do that anymore. That's like totally in the past. Mm-hmm. So now we have to take action, and we have to take collective action, because if we take action in Chicago, then New York is going to start acting crazy, which they always do. If we do it only in New York and Chicago, then Miami and Tampa and all the places in Florida are going to be acting crazy. We have to have a collective movement, and it has to be of action. Now, when you ask a free question, before the call question on the website, on Facebook, I said I felt that we needed to take we need to speak with words and dollars and votes. We need to speak out to inform our community, to kind of let them know. I know they know red is red, but I don't think they believe red is red, which is like you were saying, Katie, about racism. They know it, but they don't believe it. So I think we just have to keep speaking out to our brothers and sisters to break that shell that they have where they think everything is okay, because it's not. And it's like you have to wake up and see what's going on for what's going on and connect the dots. And like you were saying, Katie, they're saying everything in every way that they don't like us and they want to kill us. I mean, they're saying it in all kind of ways. So I was saying that we could pull our dollars together and pull it away from companies that support these politicians and the district attorneys, because all these are elected officials, and we can pull our dollars from these companies that are supporting these guys, because we have to do something that they understand. I don't mind fighting with weapons, but a lot of us feel that we can't really do that because we're out-weaponed. Well, one thing that we know as black people that we are not outed of, and that is money. If we start pulling our money, and we're not pulling our money because, see, we have so many issues. We're not pulling our money so that they can do better. We're pulling our money so we can help us, and the fringe benefit will be that they treat us better. But we need to pull our money anyway. So these things are showing us that we need to start pulling our money, because that's all they understand, and it's too late for them to do anything. They're trying to do black movies. It's too late. We got a black president. It's too late. We got black politicians. We got mayor. We have everything, and it's too late. Money is the only thing that we haven't moved away from them. So I think that's what we need to do.
And money is the only thing they understand. How the hell you think they work with each other? Now, listen, I have brought this up. Ray, you weren't with me last week, but I did a full-week series on the barriers about rebuilding black economics, all right? Now, the whole situation was that really the barriers stood internally. Of all the things that we could point out that comes in from the dominant society, it's nothing we're not used to, haven't heard, don't see every day. We know this. We spend so much damn time trying to point out stuff we already know. We already know what happened in our history. We already know what our ancestors had to go through. We already know why we think the way we do in the modern day and age. We know where it comes from. My question is, what the hell do we do about it now? I've said this 1,000,006 times, and I'm going to keep saying it. What do we do about it now? What can you blame history on? For you standing in front of a crime in place, where there's a phone you can call, where there's a newspaper article you can reach out to and do something. When if you see a kid being bullied by another kid, you could step in and help. What does history have to do with you not making the right choice at that moment?
Right.
Okay, so that's my question. So now, with regards to what you stated, Kim, money is all they do understand, even amongst themselves. Let me just give you an example. New York City had a law that our little radical mayor, previous mayor, passed, right? Now, I work at Madison Square Garden. All of you have heard me say this before. Madison Square Garden, 60,000 people at any given time coming to one event. Now, we were told at one point, we're not allowed to serve any sugary drinks past the 16-ounce size. okay, which for us that would be like a medium-sized drink. The very next time I reported to work 2 days later, that rule went out the window. I had the customer telling me, here, what the hell is wrong with him? If I want to be fat, I'll be fat. I can guarantee you what they did was went right to town hall and said, we will withdraw X, Y, and Z contributions, okay, if you don't change the stupid law. I can guarantee you that they said next time we vote, you will not get our vote. All right? I can guarantee you that that's what was said. And do you want to know what happened? That mayor quickly turned that law around.
Mm-hmm.
The same way they'll fight to make sure that they can get beers early in the morning. I got you. What do you mean we can't have beers at 11 o'clock? I'm paying $197 a seat and blah, blah, blah. Yes, they will.
May I say something?
Sure, Ray, go ahead.
I would like to point out something about politics. This 2012, the black voters outvoted all the other American voters. And look at our conditions now. And where I'm going with this is, we don't have any political power because these laws that they are making are made by these same politicians that we vote for. We don't select who gets in office. We don't select them. We just vote for whoever has been selected to be in office. And where I'm going with all this is just like your situation you brought up about the pop thing. It wasn't the black population that done that. It's called white privileges. Politically, the white privileges are more greater than the black society. We can go down to town hall. We can bitch and complain all we want. They're going to ignore us. They know that we're only 13% of this population, and our vote doesn't really affect them. And then even when we do vote, like when we voted, we outvoted everybody in 2012, and the laws are just gotten even worse against us. So where I'm going with all this is we just have to face the fact that being in this white supremacy system, we are never going to find any justice. And this political system is what maintains this white supremacy system. And so what I'm trying to explain is we've got to get out of our minds. I mean, H.P. Rap Brown and Malcolm X both said, what they done was they gave us a right to vote and told us we were free. And they fooled us into believing so. But this is not the fact because it's been proven. I mean, ever since 2012, we outvoted everybody. All I've been doing is looking at what did it benefit us. It has benefited us in nothing at all. So, therefore, it's time for us just to recognize the political system will never accommodate us. As a matter of fact, these lawmakers are in these offices setting up laws to work against us. So we got to face that fact and understand that. Now, about the economics, yes, we need to get outside of this white supremacy system and establish ourselves and get our own economical system started to develop our black wealth and what have you. But at the same time, it's not a direct thing connected to this violence that we are receiving from police, security, and vigilantes and racists. This is not going to change that. Honestly, we might be outgunned, but this tactic that you can use is called ambush. You know, this has been done in many, many wars. Many, many battles has been fought by smaller armies against larger armies, more advanced armies, and they use ambush tactics in order to win these fights. And so that's just where it's at right now, and we just got to face it. I mean, you can't buy your way out of violence. You have to fight your way out of that. And it's just to that point. And it is sad that it's that way, but it's unfortunate. And honestly, it's our fault for us becoming passive and not continuing our fight that we had. The COINTELPRO shook us to the bone. And we watched them do illegal acts of attack of war on us. Back in the 70s when they went against the Panthers and the Black Nationals. And after that, we tried to do it the other way because we didn't want any more trouble. Well, now we come to the reality 50 years later, 40 years later, we're still at the same point we was when the Panthers started the Black Defense Corps. And so we just had to pick up where we left off and go from there. And we just have to face that some of us going to have to be harmed in order to make changes around here. That's just the way it's going to be.
Ray, I agree with almost everything you said. Kim, before I go over to you, I agree with everything you said. I want to kind of expound a little differently on something, but there is another panelist coming in. Let me just bring them in for a sec. Hold on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, who's calling?
Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. Welcome to the show.
Yo, what's up, Nikki?
Hey.
How are you?
So recently I heard in the news that there was going to be an investigation in the Newark educational system for, like, black schools. I was just wondering if you heard about that or not.
I haven't. Any of you guys heard that?
No.
No, I haven't. No.
Not by reach into the country.
Oh, I can pull it up. Well, I guess it's been going on that they think that black students are getting deprived of better education than, you know, whites. So they're I can find dang it, I was just reading it and then here it is. Newark Civil Rights Pro Mirrors investigations in other U.S. cities. They are the district, they're doing a DOE investigation, Department of Education, because there were allegations that they were separating the blacks and whites, like putting black students in a poor educational system. I don't know if, like, that has ever taken place where y'all are from, where they kind of put black students in poor schools.
Okay. I'm actually looking at the article now. So you're bringing that up because you want to add a point of...
Well, I just wanted to know, like, you know, asking you as a black woman, like, do you think that having an investigation like that would make a difference in the community and would better the education?
Well, first of all, it's no surprise to me that that's even being claimed because, frankly, black kids are getting a worse offer of curriculum and education for enrichment. So that's not even a question. It's something that we've known for a while. The fact that there's an investigation in it, well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to reserve my judgment until I see what the outcome of that investigation is.
Same
and
here.
I will tell you why. Because they can put on a political show all they like, but at the end of the day, if they're not finding what we know on a daily basis, okay, to me it's just another horse and pony show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's how I feel. As far as what I was going to say to you, Ray, and Kim, I know you had started to say something, so I hope you didn't lose your thoughts, sweetie. But what I was going to say to you, Ray, is this. I don't think it's that, well, no, with you, Kim, when you said earlier that we see it, but we don't believe it, I think it's not that they don't believe it. I think that we'll mess up the rattlesnake's nest mentality. You know, I think that's, to me, more what it is, that knowing it, believing it, seeing it, if they act on it, it's still going to be a problem. So they'll pretend they don't believe it, or they'll try to point out all of the differences that could be pointed out for the better. I don't think we don't believe it, because you couldn't possibly look at what you see every day and not believe it. Really, what you said, I think that the reason why after our big show of unity in 2012 took place that things went are the way they are now is because we didn't follow up with the same passion and continue. Now, I believe overall, no matter what, yes, we're still fighting something that no matter how we look at it, it's always going to come out the same because they have one agenda in mind. But enough noise will at least make them not want to hear us anymore and try to do something to at least appease us to a point. Still in all, I think with that, we still need to build our own. I still think mm-hmm. we need to build our own. And we need to stop giving in to the mentality of whenever one of our own has a flaw, we showcase it for the outsiders in a derogatory manner. Because that society doesn't. No matter how bad a person is, and I said this before as well, no matter how bad one of their own has done something, no matter how outrageous they are, no matter how criminal they are, they will take them in and bring them back into the fold and deal with it as their own little private in the closet problem. Okay,
right.
They won't allow anybody on the outside to degrade them, put them down, or punish them for all that stuff. They'll have their quiet little talks in the dinner table and say, you know what, you need to be out of the public eye for a little while.
Yep.
That's what they'll do. While we'll sit there and we'll put our own on blast over and over again. That's what they're telling
mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this to those of you listening. If these shoes don't fit you as a person, then don't wear them.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm not right. referring to you. I'm referring to the people that these shoes apply to. Okay? If you know that you're a person that believes that people are people regardless of their color, regardless of their race, their orientation, and you will stand up for them regardless of who's around you or who you will displease with your opinion, then you are welcome to the human world. But if you are a person that will say something quietly about how you dislike what took place in that way, but you won't stand up, then these shoes apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we do, and I will say one thing to you, Ray. In addition to everything I just said, I do agree with Malcolm X's philosophy, all right, more so than I agree with Martin Luther King's, and I'm going to tell you why. I do believe that you first try to talk it out and do what they call civilized. You know, you try to get to the bottom of it without looking like idiots on a war field. But when that doesn't work, enough. Look, I try to tell my kids when they go to school that if something is happening to you, first tell the person you don't like what they're doing, then go to a teacher and try to get it done. Third time, like in baseball, three strikes, you're out. After the third time, you do what the hell you got to do to defend yourself, and I'll take the heat for you when I get there.
Absolutely.
Okay? First time, you try to show that you are a person that has respect and manners. When that person is not trying to go with your philosophy, then listen, no holds barred after that. If somebody's going to keep on punching the hell out of you while you're walking in a hallway, you push them back and restrain them, and you go, yo, keep your hands off of me. And if that doesn't work, you go to a teacher, yo, he's putting his hands on me. The third time, you do what you got to do because you have the right to walk the streets like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, if they have a no-fighting policy, tell them to tell the damn bully to stop fighting as well. And I'll deal with that. Because the rest, now that becomes mommy's fight. That's the way I feel about it. But I will not teach my children to go out there and be an initiator of garbage. Nor will I excuse it if I find out that they were involved with it. See, that's the problem with the rest of the world. They're so busy looking at what makes them upset, what they're afraid of, what they don't want to get into, what they find ugly, what they find messed up, that they feel they can react the way they react because it doesn't fit in their perfect little picture. How about you leave us the hell alone and stop trying to cut into what it is we can do for ourselves?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. There's another caller coming in. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Katie. Good evening, panelists. This is Professor Carl Tone Jones chiming in.
Hey, Professor.
Good evening,
Hello,
Professor.
Hey, okay.
Good brother. How's it going?
Before
that voice sounds familiar.
But Deacon, he's not. Okay.
Hey, what's up, Professor? How you doing, man?
Good,
God
brother.
Bless you and your family,
long
man.
Time. Blessings, peace and blessings to you. Hope all is well in your world.
I appreciate it, man. Really do.
Okay, before I turn the mic over to you, Professor, Kim, you started to say something. Did you lose your thought, honey?
No, I have my thought. I want to say two things to piggyback on what Ray was saying. I wasn't saying that to vote on the politicians. I was saying that we have to go beyond the politicians, see the companies that are putting money into these politicians and pull our money from those companies to finance the weapons or whatever we need to finance. And I also want to say that it's really interesting that so many black people voted for Obama because we don't support black people in anything else. And I know I didn't vote for Obama. One reason is because he's from Chicago and I already knew his track record. And the second reason was the way that we got bamboozled by Clarence Thomas, and nobody, you know, wants to talk about that. Thurgood Marshall retired.
No,
I know, no. But what happened was Thurgood Marshall, I don't know if he, I guess he retired or passed. I don't remember what happened, but when he wasn't on the Supreme Court anymore, we were like, we need a black person, we need a black person, we need a black person. And that's what we said. And they gave us Clarence Thomas. So when we said we need a black president, we need a black president, I didn't fall for the okey-doke, and we should not have, because look at what they gave us when we asked for a black person, and that's what we did. We asked them for a black person, and that's what they gave us. So now we asked for Obama, we asked for a black president, and this is what they gave us. So we can't keep falling for the okey-doke. What I would like to see black people do is, like I said, pull our money and don't vote in the presidential election for 2016. Because like you're saying, Katie, they're beating us and they're killing us anyway. We voted in every election. We supported Democrats from noon to tonight, and we should not vote in the presidential election. I know people feel that the local elections are what they need to do. Okay, fine. But as a collective, we should not vote in the 2016 election unless we have an independent candidate that we support. And I think we should go that route, because it's like we're not going in the right routes. We're burning our neighborhoods. We're talking and not doing anything. We need to use our money and then get our own political party, but in the that's like what we can do in the next 2 years. The interim is separating from them by getting land somewhere else, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke and Marcus Garvey spoke, Africa for Africans, and start moving away from them so when they implode, we will not be involved in that. So all that goes together, what we can do in the next one to two years is take our money out, not vote in 2016, and work towards getting somewhere else.
Kim, I agree with everything that you said up to just one little thing I kind of strayed from a little bit, and that is this. I agree with not voting, you know, for a candidate simply because. I'm definitely for that. I did vote for Obama, but I had my reasons for doing so, and it wasn't about the black situation, okay, because had he talked nonsense like I thought the other ones were talking, I wouldn't have voted for him either. Now, one of the things I will say is that if we don't vote at all, to me it's almost as being silent. Silent is deadly. So either way, I would rather that we vote maybe for the lesser of two evils and let more of our voice be on that person than to have no voice at all and that person wins by default, if you know what I'm saying. Someone else gets in.
But that's exact. What you're saying is exactly what the Republicans are banking on. The reason why Rand Paul is out talking to black people, because they know that we're fed up with Democrats, so now they want our votes. And we already know Republicans aren't going to do anything for us, so we either don't vote. I'm just talking about presidential. We can do whatever we want local. Don't vote presidential because anyway, we know that our vote doesn't really count. It's the electoral votes that pick the president, or get our own independent party, because I think I can't think of the black lady that ran on an independent ticket. I think it was against in the 2012 election, get an independent candidate. If we get an independent candidate, that's still voting. But do we want to go over to Republicans just because we're dissatisfied with Democrats? That's what the Republicans are banking on. I didn't vote for Republicans because I saw McCain and Mitt Romney. They are warmongers, and they're going to be sending our sons and daughters to these different wars. So I definitely couldn't vote for them, so I didn't vote at all. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm not. They're both evil, and for me, I understand what you're saying because that's what people think, the lesser of two evils, but I couldn't put my vote on either of those two candidates.
I get you, and I still think what you just said is the ultimate and only solution, which is to get your own party, which a lot of us don't tend to look into to see how to do just that. You know, everybody on this panel, and I know, Professor, you're going to have a spin on it in a minute. Everybody in this panel obviously is what I like to call the circuit breaker deprogrammed, meaning we stuck our hands in that circuit breaker and electrocuted ourselves out of the bullshit. But what I'm saying is that definitely the ultimate solution for our people definitely will be to detach ourselves from the dominant society altogether. Because that's the only way we're going to at least feel like that we at least have a real voice in the situation. Not some, you know, painted and polished up token on a mantelpiece that people could walk in and go, you see, I vote black. You know, that type of thing. All right? Too many of these smokescreen and gift wraps and window dressing situations catch us by the neck. Too much. And we are sitting up here going, well, all right, I'd rather not say that, you know, like the KKK is still there, so like, you know, really, black people can vote now. You know what I mean? I mean, garbage. That's like saying Donald Sterling isn't a racist because, you know what, he dedicated himself to all the black charities. Meanwhile, saying that the same black people I'm donating to can't sit at my dinner table. I don't mind sticking my penis in the black woman, but don't bring your black friends around my golf clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, I still, to this day, don't understand what that chick saw in Stoneface. Because he looks like he belongs on Mount Rushmore while he's living. Go ahead, Professor, you're up.
So just briefly, real quick, on the topic, I hear some of what you're saying. I was able to tune in and out a little bit earlier.
My question is, based on everything, you know, we spoke last night about the way the cops have been roguish and just going doing whatever the hell they want to do. And all these things are happening. You know that one of the things I had a problem with was that little follow-up photo where they're now trying to excuse the chokehold situation with Eric Garner. My question tonight is, when I put out the pre-broadcast question, I asked the question, is us being silent deadly or is it beneficial? Because half of my people responded that if we open up and say something, we'll be shaking the rattlesnake's nest. And the other half said if we're silent, they're ambushing us anyway. So I want to go down fighting. Do you think we should be silent or say something?
Oh, you know, silence is, you know, what's the term?
Deadly.
Silence is but you know when you get silence is consent. So when you're silent about something, you consent to the action, you consent to the behavior. So hell no, we shouldn't be silent. In fact, I'm more about going on the offensive. You see that brother just got shot in Ohio. I don't know if y'all were talking about that inside of a Walmart because he had a toy gun while he was on the phone with his mother, and a police officer walked up to him and killed him in the store, and then tried to lie and change the story.
Right.
You know, so, our silence is the reason why they're whipping our asses now. Because we've been silent and we try to turn the other cheek and, it's just a neighbor down the street. Maybe they'll be satisfied with just, you know, beating and harassing him so they'll leave me alone. No, when you're silent amongst tyranny, you give consent to the terrorist. So, you know, we have to make as much noise as possible. In fact, I am of the idea of that, and I'm damn sure going to put together a program because this is on my heart and it's on my mind, to put together a program to take into the police departments to show them the type of brutality that they're presenting to the community as to why they're not getting the cooperation that they desire from the community, and to let them know that if they continue these practices, that the community will act in force and respond to the tyrant and tyranny that you present to us. And it's as simple as this. The bully is the bully until the people that the bully bullies understand that they outnumber the bully, and then they take action on the bully. So, I'm saying this to say the community outnumbers the police department. So the people who live in that community need to address the police in a manner where the police understand they are there to assist the citizens of that community, not to harass, terrorize, torment, and bully, and menace those people. So we have to speak out against the things they're doing towards us, because and speaking out is the very least we should be doing when we're dealing with them. You know, I'm far past the speaking out part. I'm on to letting them know that there is going to be a consequence preemptively if we see you even looking like you're about to hurt somebody else.
Absolutely.
Because we need to be preemptive with that. Nobody else needs to lose anybody else. You know, we have enough fallen soldiers. We have enough victims. We've been victims of their tyranny long enough. I don't want to be the person who loses the next one.
But, sister, I'm with you. I am so damn tired. I am tired. I am tired of hearing all of these people quote past history. I am so tired of all these people talking on social media. I am sick and tired of everybody speaking about all the knowledge that they have about just how damn wrong this stuff is, but turn around and do not a damn thing. I am sick and tired of our people sitting up there so freaking afraid to stand up and say, you're wrong. You know that I love using that little fairy tale, the folklore, whatever you want to call it, about the Emperor's New Clothes, where that big, fat, jolly, jiggly man went through the town parading his naked body because some con men told him, after taking his money, that they were going to make him a fine outfit out of the finest silks and threads that was so fine that the average citizen who wasn't great couldn't see it. Meanwhile, the kid, who was the most truthful person in the entire crowd, screamed out, but he's naked. When everybody else saw it and was whispering, I don't know, I think he's naked, he looks naked to me. That kid said he's naked, and everybody started saying the same thing. I am so tired of us being so afraid to call the naked emperor out that we'll turn on each other and say, you're the one being the troublemaker. Or, well, you shouldn't have upset the white man. How damn you?
Hey, Katie, I was wondering about that police officer that killed Eric Garner. He had a history of harassing other people, right? Like, before he killed them?
I'm sure he did. I really saw more of the actual death situation. But Professor, Professor, have you been more into reading like the root details?
Say what again?
Have you been more into reading the root details about the officer that killed Eric Garner?
Well, yeah, I read about that, how he was this wasn't the first time he was disciplined for that very chokehold that he killed Eric Garner with. So this person shouldn't even have been on the street, let alone walking as a police officer. He should have been tried and convicted for the felony murder the first time or manslaughter the first time that this happened. So, you know, we got to understand something, though, and it's something that we really need to pay attention to. We need to understand that these times we're moving backwards, and as Dr. Amos Wilson stated, you know, when you move forward, you don't always progress. Sometimes you can regress. And as black people in America, we have regressed in terms of how we are treated by the dominant society. We have regressed in terms of how we hold them accountable. We have been lulled to sleep by the media into thinking that we're dealing with docile individuals when their history says everything otherwise. So, you know, we are dealing with a monster, a beast that doesn't live in the neighborhoods they protect or they're supposed to be protecting. So now they are just medium paid overseers who come into the community with anger, their issues, whatever they're dealing with at home, this is the field where they take it out. This is their anxiety, this is their stress relief when they come into the community and they menace our people in the community. I just had a police officer drive past me in front of my house, and I'm getting tired of this crap. Slow down just because me and about six brothers were outside talking about racism, white supremacy. See, you know, when we have these conversations, we have to also understand they are aware of the energy in the community, and they are also aware that we are getting sick and tired of being the whipping boys and the whipping girls, because now they're beating the hell out of our women, because that's the next progression. You know, they've beaten the women. There was even a situation where a police officer smacked was responsible for the death of a breastfeeding infant. Just New York. I'm not sure if you guys have seen that story. So, you know, it's just way past time, as we've said before. It's just way past time for us to be up and on this. And now they're regressing to a point of the days of Bull Connor. Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the situation here in Philadelphia, but we had a former police officer turned police chief then mayor named Frank Rizzo. And during his reign of terror, all sorts of things went down, including the destruction and the murders in the first move house that nobody talks about that was destroyed here in Philadelphia under his term before 1980. So, you know, we're regressing to those times where the police brutality is not just rampant, it's accelerating, and which goes to show that there is no consequence for doing anything to us. You never will see a black police officer hurting or being aggressive with somebody from the dominant society, somebody from you won't even see them be too aggressive with the Latino society community, because the Latino community will come out and forth. But the black community is so damn divided that we're allowing, inviting people to come in and separate us and pick us apart. And because we're so divided, we don't have the antidote for this virus of racism, white supremacy.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something, and my God, you just hit on point. Our people tend to forget this part, okay? A police officer, yes, has a lot of authority to do X, Y, and Z. They might even have a little bit more leniency in what they feel is a threat, or, you know, they can ask more questions. But when a police officer starts to go rogue or starts to act outside of their own authority, they are no longer acting in the role of a police officer. And to me, in turn, now becomes fair game to anybody who wants to challenge that action. And until enough of us stand the hell up and start saying, yo, listen, you're supposed to have something to go up to this person to question them for. I am tired, like you are, Professor, of having my family members or my friends just sitting there minding their business. And because it's a group of black people, which a group in their mind is two or more people, okay, can't stand in front of a grocery store just talking because they went to get a soda and their friend happened to run into them and they stopped and started talking, okay? I'm sick and tired of the fact that if it's two or more black people convening in one space at the same time, there must be trouble brewing, while a bunch of white kids drinking loud as hell, making trouble, can be just told to break it up and go the hell home.
Can I say something, Katie? What you just described was the overseer's role on the plantation. If you even read Frederick Douglass's narrative, he even speaks about how, you know, they weren't allowed to congregate in groups more than two and three people because they might be conspiring to overthrow the slave master, or they might be conspiring to escape, or they might be conspiring to throw a revolt. So that whole concept, and let's not forget the reason why the whole idea of having police officers exist in this country. It was always to protect white property from black slaves. It was always to keep black people in line. That was the necessity of even having the police officers. The Supreme Court just ruled that the police officers are not sworn to protect. They don't have to live up to those vows of protecting and serving the community. What does that mean? They are there to protect and serve the property and the property owners, not us. So once we understand all of these things and once we realize what's going on, then we can have the proper context in which to address them in. But then again, we have to learn that even in trying to form a black community, because like I said on my show last night, We don't have a black community, but even in trying to form and create a black community, we need to come together on some points, because I did hear some of you talk about block voting or block not voting, and I think both of those are great ideas as long as we all do it together. You know, I heard some of us talk about economically coming together, which is going to be harder than convincing people not to vote, because economically you can have a conversation with somebody about and I'm talking about strictly black Americans. You can have a conversation with black Americans about spending wisely and spending money where we're supposed to, and they're all nod their head in agreement, walk right out of the store, right out of your lecture, or walk right out away from the crowd and step right into a Nike superstore and buy some sneakers. The whole concept of us and being sold on this whole materialistic success materialistic scale of success that drives us is one of the main issues in dealing with the economic situation in terms of us unifying and forming an economic core.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You were saying, Nikki.
Oh, well, I was just reading this story. It's kind of interesting. Remarly Graham, the unarmed Bronx 18-year-old shot to death by an officer after cops entered Graham's house without a warrant. The officer was indicted on a manslaughter charge, but surprise, surprise, the judge threw out the indictment on a technicality. Wow.
Not a
no
surprise
consequences.
To us. Not a surprise to us, not at all. You know, the thing is that we're aware of it, but our people's problem is we've got to deal with stuff for ourselves. However, on the other end of the spectrum, those of us, like people like yourself, who are in it, that would have an easier time of things, that would have a voice that somebody would listen to, if you stood up and said something, and wouldn't matter what your yacht club friends think or your neighborhood friends think, and did something, we would probably have a little something happen in the positive
world. I try to speak up for it, you know, like I would stand up for, you know, whenever I was put in classes with black and Hispanic kids when I was put in those classes, because I wasn't really, like I said, I wasn't a good student. Like I said, if you weren't a straight A student, you got put in bad classes, or if you weren't white. So I wasn't a straight A student, and when I would see it, I would try to speak up, you know, as much as I could, because it is wrong, you know. I just don't understand why, I don't know, you automatically think just because someone's black that they steal or they are going to kill you or they're going to, you know, do this or that. I mean, I don't know.
It's the racism of white supremacy.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes. It's just been that way. And no one says,
can I get that for 300?
What'd you say, honey?
I said, can I get that for 300? Can I get that question? Go
ahead.
Listen, sweetie, the reason that this whole system of white supremacy occurred, let me give you a little history, okay? You know, when this country was first cultivated by the Spanish and by the British monarch and the French, when the Europeans all came to America, they didn't just have, it wasn't just black slaves. They weren't even considered slaves. You had black indentured servants, and then you had Irish indentured servants. And the thing is, the blacks and the Irish were coming together, and they were holding revolts and to overthrow the system because it became abusive, and the people who were receiving the indentured servitude, they were very aggressive. They were very hostile to the indentured servants. So, and they weren't honoring their contracts. So they went, the Irish and the black members of the blacks also they began to revolt and rebel against the system. And what happened was, the rich white landowners decided to in order to break this union up, they offered the Irish what was called freedom dues, and they started honoring the indentured servitude contracts of the Irish. So what happened was when you do that, you had to separate a class system, and the only thing they had to separate the Irish from the blacks was the fact that there was a skin color. That's when the whole concept of race even came into play in the 1600s. So from the 1600s, from the 1600s on, the whole stigma of race became a major issue, and creating a society of white supremacy became a major issue, so powerful, in fact, that it started here in America and was transported over to Europe, and it was practiced in Europe just as much as it was practiced here in America. So, to create a system of white supremacy, you need to use propaganda. So the propaganda that was used systems like Darwinism and social Darwinism. You had the whole concept of eugenics created by Darwin's cousin, Francis Galton. So, you had all these different things that were basing intelligence and a savagery, if that's a word, amongst color lines. And the darker you are, the more savage you were considered, and the more unintelligent you were considered. So throughout the history, you had to present propaganda, such as newspaper articles, such as comic strips, political comic strips. You had to create all those different things in order to present blacks as different than whites. And then you create the competition between poor whites and poor blacks. And that's when you have the biggest issues of racial confrontation, because based on that whole color indoctrination, the white community, even the poorest whites, always consider themselves above or more elite than the wealthiest blacks. And that
white privilege
took form and shape to even in the 60s, where George Wallace, who was the governor of Alabama, stated that if poor whites and blacks ever got together, they would control the ongoings in that state. And the blacks said, okay, poor whites, will you join us? And the poor whites said, hell no, we will never join with you niggers. And that's exactly what they were saying. So, the whole propaganda around white supremacy is gaining so much fuel and so much hate, and it's forming so much hatred towards blacks, that now the propaganda is being recycled within the black community. So now we believe the stuff that's said about us being crooks, about us being criminals, about us being thugs, about us being dangerous. Shoot, I was walking in a store. Yes, I'm listening.
So I was wondering, with light skin versus dark skin, in y'all's community, are there some people that make fun of each other, like when, a black person is, like, darker?
No, that's not about making fun. Oh, go ahead, somebody else, you can answer that, Tariq, because I've been talking for a minute.
Well, that's the people that are ignorant, because basically being black, no matter if you're light-skinned or dark-skinned, in the eyes of the oppressor in the white population, you're just black. So that's just the ignorance of black people that they need to get over, because that's all in their mind, because there's no such thing as light-skinned privileges.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a light-skinned person, and I've been through, a lot of that, but that's an internal situation with us. But that's absolutely. And their history comes in as to why we would think that way, but we understand that too. But, yes, Nikki, there is ignorance involved where things like that happen. Not so much that they're persecuted, for it, but there is an internal prejudice thing going on based on what previous generations have been taught and brought down from our own history. The whole point is, even with that being said, for us, it doesn't matter what color we are or how thin our features are or how close to white society we look, we're always going to be niggers to them. And that's a really sad and hateful thing, but it's a reality.
Obama's a perfect example. He's the black president, and he's getting totally disrespected by the people he supported the most.
Absolutely.
Because of his skin color, regardless if he's half white or half black, light-skinned, they don't care. He's still a nigger in their eyes, and I hate to say that, but that's the truth.
Are you a supporter of Obama?
Say that again?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a supporter of Obama, Professor?
Who, me?
That's not
no. Don't you do that? I'm not a supporter of anybody that's trying to support the white supremacy system. The bottom line is the problem is there's too many of us trying to make a better position in white supremacy when we need to destroy white supremacy for the well good of every human being that is involved, regardless of their color. White supremacy harms us, they harm the poor white, they harm us all. It's just that the white privileges make the poor white have the illusion of inclusion, and the power of voting gives the black the illusion of inclusion. We need to get over that and accept the fact that the 1% don't give a flat damn about none of us, no matter what your color is, and get our shit together and go against the system. And the 1% is the white supremacy system, and it's not based on your color. It's based on your economical status.
Yes. Guys, I got to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to be discussing solutions for the last half, okay? So you guys hang out with me. Ladies and gentlemen, here's P.R. Robinson with Willie Lynch. Be back in a minute.
Who was that? Hello?
She took a break.
Hello?
Commercial break.
A lot of y'all don't know who he is, man, so do y'all research, man. Let's go. Live in a world where they kill kids to make a point, to pay the media to hype it up to make us annoying. They found a way to tax and now it's cool to smoke a joint. When Dave Chappelle turned bread down to save a soul, they made it look like it's crazy, the truth won't be told. I remember when the devil used to love rock and roll. Now he a fan of hip-hop cause he want mass control. He used our people to get our people to kill our people. Now that we doing it, they can say that they treat us equal. You got rappers saying it's wrong, but it's just as wrong. Remember Cisco had the whole world wearing songs. He beat us down and make us sick. Can we all get along? These youngins only know to strap up, gun and palm. Smoke like he blowing out a water bomb. I gotta say the bull lisp is a hypocrite. Teach his own, but you feeding our children ignorance. Ride around selling dope, shooting folks up. Back to your mansion right after the director said cut. This ain't a different reality, don't get mad at me. They got you killing your family for a salary. If this is family ties, who's playing Mallory? Can't be around these frauds, mess up my allergies. I always knew that I would die for a real cause. Apostle Paul, but militant like Tupac Shakur. The doctor give you medicine, but Jesus is the cure. Cause I was blind, but now I see. Enough to say that the enemy is you and me. And I was deaf, but now I hear. Good enough to catch the hate growing in my ear. And oh yeah, the Ku Klux Klan's now ran by the black man. Cause the black man had killed more black men than them. Cause the black man enslaved themselves. Willie Lynch, you sell drugs and you killing your people. That's Willie Lynch. You get high, you were still from your people. That's Willie Lynch. It makes sense to put my life down for these kids in the game. And if one change, I ain't dying in vain. I used to think I was Kane. My man was old dog. Used to be my road dog. Caught my man slipping and he got his head blown off. Sound familiar? Everybody got a story like it. And if they don't, they know somebody who was just like it. I know somebody that's dead gone, they dead wrong. That's why they dead gone, but you can never say it right. The one that's murdered, be the cool one, let me get this right. He robbed, still killed people at will. But when you bring this up, his family got the nerve to say chill. But it's real, it's consequences. Not to mention the proposition was kinda gifted, cause he ain't have a pot to piss in. Look at his baby picture, smiling all innocent. 17 years later, hoping they say innocent. Guilty verdict, when he heard it, the future murdered. Went to the store to get a soda, but he got a murder. Where did he get the burner? He shouldn't even have a burner. Better yet, need a burner. Somebody needs to speak to the journal. I was blind, but now I see. Enough to say that the enemy is you and me. And I was deaf, but now I hear. Good enough to catch the hate growing in my ear. And oh yeah, the Ku Klux Klan's now ran by the black man. Cause the black man had killed more black men than them. Cause the black man enslaved themselves. Willie Lynch. If you a father but you ain't a daddy, that's Willie Lynch. If you a man that don't take care of your family, that's Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch is the mindset we have in the ghetto. Where we hate our own kind, all we need is a cosign. And we'll walk up on our brother with a nine and let it go.
I was blind but now I see. Enough to say that the enemy is you and me. And I was deaf, but now I hear good enough to catch the hate growing in my ear. No, yeah, the Ku Klux Klan's now ran by the black man. The black man is guilt for a black man than them, cause the black man enslaved himself. Willie Lynch.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. That was P.R. Robinson, Christian rapper, and that was called Willie Lynch. All right, we are in the middle of a discussion. It's part two of yesterday's segment, The Blue, the Black, and the Ugly. Today we are speaking about whether or not silence from the black community against all of these things that have been taking place in the media, all of these satirical articles, everything that you see with regards to the high-profile murder cases, all of the political cuts, is the black community safe for being silent about it, or is silence deadly? Now, I'm going to bring in all of our panelists back in. Deacon, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Ray?
Yes.
Al-Tariq?
Yes.
Fiskin, you there?
Yes.
Hi. Okay, Nikki?
Hey.
Hi. Professor?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and there's one more panelist coming in, so hang on just a second. Welcome to the show, Carly, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Carlos Ellaby Jones with Stello Jenkins, calling from D.C.
Hey, dude, what's up? Okay, I'll give you a little mic time to ask the question, but we're in the solutions part of it, so do you think that with everything we have been facing and we've been enduring as a black community, that being silent is safer for us or deadly?
The thing is, the conception is that it is safer to be silent about the things that are going on. That's the problem. The problem is the fact that a lot of people would rather be safer, you know, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of people are not selfless, right? A lot of people are vain. A lot of people care, you know, more about them, more about their own safety than the right thing, the higher laws of things. So, you know, everybody's not, I don't have to be held to the highest standards and what have you. But that's the reason people are silent, because they want to be safer. It's not making them any safer. It hasn't made us any safer. It hasn't done anything for us, period. You know, but the thing is, even today, like, even, you know, situations happen every day where people, you know, see police brutality, you know, and in the face of the danger, you know, it is a different story than, or not even the danger, in the face of witnessing the danger, is a different story than, you know, when you're vulnerable, you know, and a lot of our people are vulnerable if they don't know their rights. A lot of police officers think it's okay to put their hands on black men, you know. A lot of people, you know, and things of that nature. So some of us feel more vulnerable when approaching the police. But those of us that understand, like, we have to speak up. And the thing, I was, it's funny that you bring this topic up, because right now I am conflicted with the situation where even in this area. A man showed up dead. You know, I actually saw this man dead lying in the street. People, the next day, there was something reported, right? But people saw another thing. And yet, everybody is afraid to say something. People, from what people saw, though, you know, the police officers may have murdered someone and then had the press release a totally false story, because people saw a totally different thing. But people are actually afraid to say what they saw, to put themselves out there in any way. So I'm conflicted now on knowing the information and being so close to the information that even I saw the dead body.
We have got to get to the point of understanding that the police force is something that we as a people vote in. And when they go out of their realm of job description, they are no longer police officers. They are civilians. They are civilians that are subject to the laws that they are sworn to uphold. Okay? They are there to serve justice, to keep the community safe, not to be the damn danger that they were sworn in to uphold
or to go against, I should say.
But how do
and
you
that
be safely
confront that? Not that we don't, it's not that we don't know our damn rights. We know it and we don't say a thing. Okay? There are people, let me explain to you. I have seen the white people that are timid as hell. They're like the little accountants with the glasses and the bald heads, and they're about 4'2", but they will say something even if they're shaking while they say it. They'll say it. We are not right. that. You understand? We have got to get there. I understand how scared we are. I understand it. We have every right to be, historically and otherwise. But even a damn tame animal, when cornered, comes out fighting. I don't understand how much damn more do we need to get it. I say this all the time. How much more tragic photos on our life slideshow do we need to see in order for us to get? That shit is bad out here. White society can. White society can. I'm sorry, Kim, 1 minute. White society can sit there and say that, you know, I don't think it's that bad, is it? Or do things that bad really happen? Because it's not happening to you on a daily basis. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how dysfunctional they think you are. They'll tease you and still will protect you no matter what at the end of the day. As bad as bullies are to their own, if you come in as an outsider, especially an outsider they don't like, and bully that same person, you will have a problem. Mm-hmm. What do we need to get it? How many more of our kids have to be cut up, eviscerated? How many more of our people? Listen, I'm just looking at a story right now, which, by the way, this is going to be Monday's topic. Okay? All of you remember the black graduate that got ripped apart in social media and on the media for breastfeeding her child at the graduation ceremony, right? Does everybody remember that? Okay.
Yeah.
Carlisha, that was her name. All right? Now, everybody sat there and reamed this woman over the damn coals. And we as a black society did not have an outrage about the fact that what they brought up, first of all, they reamed this girl. They tried to call her a slut. They tried to call her everything possible. Okay? Two, for the fact that she breastfed her baby. They forgot the fact that she did it while wearing a cap and gown, and that according to white America's own nutrition-based greatness, that the best milk in the world to give your child is breast milk. Forgetting the fact that these over-hypersexual, perverted men couldn't possibly live without A, having a mother push her through part of her body, and B, using that same breast that disgusts them now to feed them. Before formulas hit the damn market. Okay? So here's the deal. Where were we as a black community to stand up and say, what about the fact that she is graduating? Matter of fact, I believe she was getting a bachelor's or a master's. And that she did as a single mom. Okay? So where were we? Forget white world. White world's not going to sit there and uphold that. But now let me explain to you why the hell that pisses me off even more. Because I'm reading right now about a mother that was branded a tramp for breastfeeding her child in public. She got a damn talk show on Good Morning America. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? She's a Caucasian woman who fought back. And she doesn't look to me, based on what I'm seeing, as a graduate of any college, anything. But she got a flat on a morning talk show. Now you tell me if we don't need to get something out of that ass backwards situation.
Well, of course you do. But, you know, there is, and this is the one thing, the one caveat I will say, there is a distinct difference between our community or our place here in America and everybody else's. Everybody, no other people on the planet, no other people in the world is going through what we have gone through in this country in a 500-year period. There's no script. There's nothing anywhere else. So our situation is different. You know, a lot of our leaders, and we keep going back to leaders now, and I'm a big proponent of saying we need to step away from that charismatic leader mindset where we think we need somebody that can motivate the masses to get out there, because as we've seen historically, those have been either the most corrupted or the easiest to kill. And and people know that, and that's passed down through legacy, through history, sort of like getting home at night before the lights come on. And the reason why we talk about getting home at night before lights come on, many of us don't even understand where that comes from. That comes from the notion of sundown town, where if you were black in the place and the sun set down on your ass, you were dead, or you were being hunted, and you were being killed, or you were being lynched, and you were having your testicles in somebody's jar, you know, soaking in vinegar or something of that nature. That's how deep that was. That's how deep that whole the notion of racism is to us. So right. when we see those things, we were always told, just like not to congregate, you better not learn how to read. Well, that's the stuff that was passed down, because as long as you were a dumb nigga who kept to himself, you were safe to the dominant society. As long as you kept your head down, looked to the ground, and showed fear and intimidation when you were in their presence, you were a threat. Whenever you stand tall, whenever you can look a white man in the face, he's threatened by you when you're black. That happened to me in the supermarket just yesterday, where a man cuddled his son as they walked past me. Now, this is my damn neighborhood. Y'all moved into my neighborhood, and you're cuddling your son as you walk past me. You just told your son he should fear me. And I'm a college professor. So imagine what happens when you see a young brother in there with braids or walking around with you know, the way the children, they practice hip-hop today, walk around. Imagine the message you're sending them when you walk past them. And that is the whole thing, the whole root of white supremacy is based on fear, not just in the black community, but the white community, because it's also, just like the brother said earlier, you know, the dominant 1% don't give a damn about nobody, but they play this game. And I often have this conflict with my cousin, who also believes that, you know, we should be above talking about race, is, the black community understands that and will be willing to join any group and has joined every group in their movement. The problem is, once those groups get to where they need to be, they tell the black community to kiss their ass and show yourself out, because we're not concerned with whatever you're dealing with. It doesn't concern us.
Absolutely, absolutely. NBA, rap industry. You know, the two places that these schools are making us believe our kids' only actions for success is? Absolutely. As I said before, when they talked about all these gay black athletes coming out, we're coming out because this is our movement for bravery, for all of those old other homosexuals that need to come out of the closet. We're paving the way for their bravery. Get the hell out of here. You tell me what white gay athlete came out. You tell me that. You tell me what the hell is the point of compelling yourself to bring out your private homosexual situation. There is nothing about homosexuality that is a universal need to come forth, because the only thing people have a problem with when it comes down to people being gay, homosexual, lesbian, or otherwise, is what they perceive is going on behind closed doors in the bedroom. There is no other aspect about homosexuality that is such an uproar for the American community. Hell out of
here. And I hate to say this, but there is, and I'm not saying I agree with it, because it's totally messed up that people make this assumption about black gay men, but there is an assumption that is made about black gay men, you know?
And please explain to us what that would be.
I'm not saying I agree with it or anything.
No. What I'm trying to say is that you said there is an assumption made about black gay men. Now, what would that be?
From my people, predominantly, they, you know, might contract HIV. Again, I don't agree with it. I don't think like that.
Well,
but
I heard that just comes from being gay, period. Yes. There are plenty of people out there who have the disease, and it's not from gay people. It's from transfusions. It's from having an open cut and something was infected. It's about having stuff prick you.
But see,
not
that's also
I,
a part.
I don't agree
that's
with
also,
it.
That's also a part of the design to demasculize the black man, and also to take away his biological intelligence by, you know, exploiting a black homosexual. And then you got also the cliche of homosexuality with the AIDS, and that makes the black man less attractive to the white female. So it's all a part of the ploy to attack the black man and then take away his masculinity as well.
Yeah, it is messed up.
It's
a private situation. If you choose to say, listen, from what I understand, bestiality is quite a big thing in the white American society. So you tell me, why does anybody feel compelled to come out as a gay person? If, what is the big thing to America that that's going to do? You know
but
what?
You want to hear something interesting? That black football player that came out and said that he was gay? He tried out for the Colts, and they denied him because he was gay and said they didn't want to put up with the situation.
And where was the LGBT community's outrage on that one? Okay, if they're so big and supportive of the actual gay movement, I didn't see any one of them coming out about that. Not one.
Right.
But I can guarantee you talk about a white gay person who just committed a crime, and they'll be out there screaming their damn heads off. They're persecuting this person because he's a homosexual. That's the problem. I don't see anybody using the proper protocol when it came down to that one.
Yeah.
Well, Katie, this is Kim. What I like to say is race trumps everything. I don't think people had a problem with Michael Sam kissing that his boyfriend or whatever because they have it on TV 24/7. It was the fact that it was a black man kissing a white man. Because they have white men kissing each other on TV. Every time you turn on a television channel, there's shows. There's Modern Family, all kind of shows. Race trumps everything. And until we as a people understand that, just like Neely Fuller says, if you don't understand racism, white supremacy, everything else is going to confuse you. That's going to confuse him because Michael Sam thought he was doing something. No, you kissed a white man, and that's why you have the problems that you have. Because they have embraced the gay community because they found out that their children are gay, but they're not going to embrace the black man no matter if he's gay or not. And we have to understand it's about race. But I wanted to piggyback on what the guy was saying about in his community where they had the dead body and nobody said anything. Sometimes we have to step back and understand how people think. If we in our grouping, I'll say, because I live in Chicago and we're very segregated, but in our grouping, if we have taught our children and our teenagers through hip-hop music that you shouldn't be a snitch and a rat, we can't expect them to flip that just because a police comes in the neighborhood and kills somebody. It doesn't work like that. Whatever you teach, that's what they do. So, and if we have sat around so long and watched our children be killed by terrorists in our community through the drug deals for whatever reason, because I do feel that's all economic, but we're living with terrorism, terrorists, and when a white police comes in the neighborhood, they're just doing what's already been done. It's like the switch doesn't switch like that, especially for us, because for us, race doesn't trump everything.
Right.
If people are getting killed in the neighborhood, it doesn't matter who's killing them. Nobody's doing anything about it. If nobody's going to be a snitch about anything, if about crime that you know that your son is doing or you know that somebody's doing, you're not going to be a snitch. You're not going to be a snitch when the white people come in the neighborhood and do anything. So I think we gotta peel it back a little bit more and deal with the stuff that's going on in our communities, and then we'll be able to hopefully be able to get the police brutality out. But, you know, people are doing what they always do. They don't snitch. Stuff happens on my block all the time, and nobody sees anything.
And that brings us to
a tremendous point. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut in. But the point that brings us to is that one, there were, like many of us have said before, engineers behind, you know, the rap music and the quote unquote, all of the things that have been forced upon the more recent generations. There are engineers behind it that aren't us. Even though we engage in it, we've been told to engage in it, you know, and taught to engage in it. You know, stop snitching and all that, that's not something we came up with for real, you know, really. You know, that's something that was concocted through the false gangsterism and everything that we saw on television and this and that. You know, because really, the children don't understand. We don't understand. You know, snitching, they're talking about snitching this and snitching that. Like I deal with children every day, and while I'm teaching them, they constantly are saying this word. And this word, like, it's like a cuss word here and now. You know what I mean? So I'm glad they started to take hold to why they can't keep saying this. They don't even understand what it is. A snitch is on the payroll of so-and-so and so-and-so. That's a real snitch. You telling that somebody just popped you upside the head with a metal pole is not snitching. That's absolutely mad out your mind. And see, they're confusing to it, and that's making people psychotic, really. And that's how you onset psychotic behavior and stuff like that. It's not something that we've engineered ourselves. So we got to keep making our engineering, like our social engineering got to be much stronger than the social engineering that the children are bombarded by. You know, they is really, are really, really bombarded by it. You know, and the thing is, the people the person that I know that saw this, they're not even afraid of, like, that's not even their mindset. They're just afraid that something will happen to them. That's actually what they're afraid of. That something is going to happen to them because the police in the area know people. They know where you live and stuff.
I just wanted to point out that
it's crazy.
If the courts don't hold the police accountable for the murders of black people, then how can you expect the police or the law to hold regular residents accountable for, black homicides that go unsolved, you know?
Most of us don't even know the law. Guys,
hold on. Okay, Ray, you started. Go ahead.
Court system failed to do their job, and our lives are in jeopardy. It's time for street justice. That simple, you know.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you something. These police are not gonna respond because the law is on their side. So therefore, two cops for every one black life, two cop lives for every one black life. They'll start changing their attitude, and that's the only thing that's gonna affect this.
Okay, I think Professor, you were the one that asked Rick.
That was me, Stella. Oh, my bad.
All right, Stella, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, most of us don't even know the law, you know. And like, you know, brother was saying, and I don't even want to expand too much, but the thing really is that we don't even know the law. The thing is, how can we expect the law? We don't know the law. We just know these so-called law enforcement agents of a particular background. We call them the police officers. These police officers are not the law. This is what we're engaging with. This is what we're so obsessed with because we're not even dealing with the law. The law is sitting on a higher plane. The law is up inside of the courtroom. We barely are in there. But all of the criminal behavior that's happening to us is happening outside all the way, you know, in the first passage into the system. You know, we're dealing with the police, and these are just people. These are just law enforcement agents. Actual human beings, flesh, like anyone else. But they, on the top, are supposed to be enforcing the law. But we don't even know the law. The law sits, you know, if anything, if the law is not high up with God, at least it's up on the bench with the judge. And we don't even, we barely deal with that level of
thing. I think the problem for black people is that, you know, y'all are under a legal system that's not even law abiding.
Exactly.
You know?
She's right about that.
They do unwarranted searches, stop and frisk, you know, with 90% black and Latino, how they harass black people all the time just for fun. They can take a black man and put him on trial. And, you know, what's the assumption made about a black man who is in a jumpsuit, in shackles, standing before a jury and a judge, you know, to
mainly white people. What do they? What do white people mainly think of that black person?
They've always thought of it like this: our lives are worth nothing. It's nothing going on ever.
I'm not saying I think like that. I'm just saying.
And change. That is the history. When a black person, when he goes before a judge, or anyone you could say in that matter, but I'm putting it on a black person right now. When a black person goes before a judge, if he's been in trouble more than once, at least, then he's going to look at your history. It could have been certain things that could have been maybe solved and the person wasn't violent or anything. But guess what? He's going to judge you and say, well, because of your history, I feel as though we have to lock you away for X amount of time, which in a lot of cases are excessive, especially for nonviolent crime. And then on top of that, the thing is they've never been judged or served justice for what they did to all the people who was here when they came and when they took over and killed off all the Indians. There was no real justice meted out because most of them are gone. There's no real justice meted out for us to this day because we don't even have our communities. As the professor said, we are a broken community. We're not a true community because we've been broken by others. And every time we try to form a community, then they move in on us and destroy our unity. This is nothing new. The judges...
Absolutely, and how Tariq, what you are bringing up, another proof of the racism aspect. That same defendant with the same type of history could be a white person, and they will get excused, forgiven, rehabilitated, reformed, sent back to try again. Look at Robert Downey Jr. This guy is an alcoholic groupie. He's been in DUI court more than DUI court has been around, okay? And he has bigger and better career opportunities where each time he comes out of rehab. All right?
Let's look at the nucleus of this. We got to recognize that in the 14th Amendment, the Citizen Clause, the black and Indians are wrote out of the Constitution. And also in that same Constitution, we are only considered 3/5 of human. So when you look at this aspect, we're not in the Constitution. So therefore, laws are not really made for us because they're all based on the Constitution. And the Constitution is what the laws are based on. So by us not being in the Constitution, we got to face reality. That courtroom is not going to work for us.
Absolutely right. I agree 100%. And the bottom line in this entire panel that has been over and over again, we need to establish our own. And you know what? It's not going to work with the people like you say, Professor and Al-Tariq, Patrick, when he's here, Salo, when people are pretending to be asleep. So we have to stop trying to wake up the people who are not really napping and focus on those that are teachable, those that are listening, those that are speaking, and give them something to bite on. And as possibly not just bite and swallow, but to digest.
Well, KD, I like to look at it like this because a lot of times people don't know how, I believe, to link your past with your present. And when you just look at the term of what they say is supposed to be, I have read many years ago that this world is based on conquer illusion. So if you stereotyping people for false reasons and because of their skin color, you are comfortable with the illusion of that. So if you're comfortable with that illusion, then that means in your delusional state, you'll do whatever you feel like to justify your illusionary mind state because it's a falsehood. To ever have said that we were not a people was a falsehood. It was evil at its apex, as one of the presidents called someone else the apex of evil. But what was brought upon our heads was the apex of evil. It was the worst terrorism that's ever been faced. No one wants to face up to it. No one wants to talk about it. Why?
because of the horror that it was. And no one wants to be seen as a bad people, but they always want us to be seen as the baddest of people. And that right there just lets you know the character and the integrity, the false integrity of a people who never really cared about us and never really will.
Absolutely. It's just mm-hmm. time for us to get our own, you know.
Right. Also, I would like to point out, we as a people, as a chain of people together, we have too many weak links. First of all, we have to start strengthening ourselves and standing in the mirror and taking a look at ourselves and working on the things that we know that we are weak at, in order for us to make any type of noise. Because you look at today's society and our young generations out here now, and especially here in Toledo, where I've been through quite a bit with these young people, and some of these young people have a warped way of thinking. And there's no way that I can blame them. In a way, I can sort of blame myself, because I feel like I'm one of the ones that dropped the ball with them. And we have to get back to the basics of strengthening our own people and starting at the youth. Because if we don't start it with our young people, man, we're just going to be a lost generation out here. You know, and it's up for us to start waking up and speaking to our own people and teaching our young people on how to get in contact with certain situations and the channels to go through to get through different situations, because they're going about it the wrong way. You know, they're walking around with the attitude, oh, it is what it is. That I so hate to hear that so much. You know, it's not it is what it is. It is because you accepted it to be that. And we can't keep on accepting these things and thinking it's okay, because if they think that we think it's okay, then it's okay with them. You know, if we like it, they love it.
Absolutely. Guys, I do have to shut it down. We are down the last 2 minutes. I do need to make a little quick announcement here. Those of you who were on the last night and heard about the plight with the GoPro Radio Network in Jersey, let me just reiterate, because we still need your help. Dylan Washington, he's one of our own here. He's one of our own in the groups. He owns a black-owned radio station that has become quite a voice in Jersey City. One second. That he's been a perfect tenant in the area that he's in for 12 years. Now what happened is, when the word got out that he has now become pretty much a solid fixture and a voice for the black community, his landlord came up with an overinflated technicality in his lease and doubled the rent without notice, told him that if he doesn't come up with 3 months' worth of the double the rate rent by yesterday, which was day before yesterday, Wednesday at noon, that they were going to shut him down. Now, they didn't expect that of the $15,000, he would have raised $13,500 of it in only 4 days. Right now, he has three ways that you guys can donate, either any amount to his GoProRadio.com home donation button. You can go to eBay and go to GoPro Radio Store and either buy any of the items that he has for sale, or you can head over to DisappearingVoices.com and purchase one of the DVDs of the film that he made about the decline in black radio. And all of that goes towards the remaining balance they need to stop this illegal eviction. So if anybody, you know, we always talk about if we knew how to support each other, we can. This is the way to do it. Anything from $2 and up is helpful and is appreciated.
What was that website again?
GoProRadio.com, eBay at the GoPro Radio Store, or DisappearingVoices.com.
DisappearingVoices.com.
Yes. Okay. And until Monday night, everybody, at 10:30, be blessed, be a blessing. Thank you all right here on this panel for your power-packed discussion. Nikki, you know, you can make a difference in your world for it all around. You guys continue to do what you do, because, you know, we know that they're going to continue with the
diasporic way of just, you know, putting out propaganda, telling us what we're not worth when we know what we are. So let's just continue to do what we do as the Enlightened Group, okay? So till then, everybody, thank you all for coming, your support.
I just have one question, though. Like, am I welcome here or not?
Well, did you feel unwelcome?
Not really.
All right, then. You're welcome, sweetheart. As long as you don't have anything silly to say, you are welcome here, okay? I would have not unmuted your mic if you weren't. So thank you for all that you do, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Kate.
Yeah. Have a good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.